are glad to have you with us. We got Ava in the house.
I'm here.
Don.
Yeah.
The gallivanting
I'm back.
He's somewhere here. Yeah. He's sitting right next to me, which is hard to believe. And I am here. My name is Eric, and I am the host of the show. We have lots of stuff to talk about today. A lot of controversy and some stories that I'm going to bring out in pieces regarding the administration and trying to eliminate funding for programs in high school that we found the biggest programs and growth within high school athletics. So that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Welcome, Ava. Donald.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Wow. That was rather formal.
We're all here and counted for.
Yeah, we are. It's good. I like it.
What are you looking for?
You were up at Duluth last week.
I was. Actually, I was in Superior via Duluth.
I like that area in summer is like the best climate control environment ever.
I'm going to put a shameless plug out there. Have you ever been to the Duluth Grill?
Yes, I have, actually.
It's amazing. And the reason is, I've done a little research on it.
The bacon?
It's everything there, other than, you know, the meat products and things of that nature. All the vegetables and everything is grown by the proprietor. It's all organic.
That's cool.
Yeah, I had some Korean Brussels sprouts.
Fan of Brussels sprouts right here.
Me too.
Oh, my goodness. I've never had anything like that, and they were absolutely delicious. So if you get a chance, you're on 35, take the 27th Street exit, hang a left, and it's just down about a block. Parking stuff, but it's worth the wait.
You know, and the part I like up there, too, if you've never had a chance to fish the St. Louis River,
that's
awesome. I fished up there with my dad a ton because you can go up the weather. Wind doesn't bother the spot. You can fish it all summer long. It's just fun. You get to experience the big ships. You can see them when you go further out towards the bay.
Yep.
Not actual out.
Not past the lift bridge?
Not past the lift bridge, but we fished all the way from the lift bridge in or up river and just had a blast. It was just...
Was fishing good?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. We had a good time. Crankbaits, we can run bottom bouncers, and it was just a good time. A lot of good fishing up there. The limits are tough. I mean, it's only two fish, but still you can catch a ton of fish.
Okay.
So he said at that time it was
I'm not sure what it is right now. I've never fished that, to be honest.
It's fun.
I fished Superior, but it was for splake and lake trout.
At the time, I was running Ranger, and one of my sponsors, I took him out fishing, and he wanted to go up to Duluth. I said, okay, we'll go. We went fishing, caught a bunch of fish. And he said, hey, you think we could go out into the main lake? And I said, if you'd like to. Well, I knew the wind was blowing right out of the northeast. And so there's a channel, basically, that's right by that Superior side.
Yes.
You don't go through the lift bridge, you go through the other.
Yeah.
And we made it three quarters of the way through.
Change
and
your
when
mind.
It got to the point where we were up, we could see the sailboat coming in without the sail. And we go down and the sailboat was gone. And then he got really wide eyed when we came back up, and then there's a sailboat right there. And he said, would you mind if we
turn around.
Didn't go out into the main lake.
Yeah.
I said, no problem. So went down the wave, made a banking turn on the face of that wave, because they were rollers. Very rounded,
yep,
not breakers,
yep.
So I came around and came back at it, and we kind of surfed the middle of it so we didn't get going too fast. It coming down the face into the back of the other wave, and we got in. And he said, "Thank you. I actually almost threw up in that 200-yard stretch." And I said, "Thank you for not throwing up in my boat."
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. But
so it's much nicer on the inside, isn't it?
Yeah. The welcome to Mother Nature and how it can really change your opinion on what goes on.
Yeah. Well, it's got a lot of miles to build coming into the Duluth area.
Yeah, it does.
The lake does. So
watch the jet skiers go out there and have to wait for the timing to not go when the wave comes up because they'll hit the bridge.
Right.
It's like, what? So kind of crazy, but nonetheless. And it's all based on the time of year that it's good. You know, if you go out there spring, it's awesome, and fall. So speaking of fall, a lot of things coming up this fall. Dog training is one of them. And obviously we all want to try to get our dogs prepped. And of course, many people, no big deal, we got this nailed down. But the one thing that I think people forget, and I've seen it happen in a large scale scenario, is working with your dog and working with your dog when it's hot or the heat is out and the humidity is out, and they work hard. And when you're working out and with the dog, and, you know, throwing dummies for them, you're not the one that's
doing
making the effort, so you don't notice it. So really be cognizant. If you're going to get your dog out, realize that your dog, when they're doing this running and all the train or the, you know, in the field stuff, your best scenario is when it's that 40 degree temperature, 35 degree temperatures. We're double and sometimes not quite triple, but let's say it's 85 or 90. You've got to be careful. You have to be careful. The dog will overwork itself and keep going to the point where you can't stop. And I've seen it happen. It happened at one of the lodges we were at. One of the dogs did not quit, and we were watering them every who knows what. Sat down, the dog couldn't get back up, and then it was into all of us under high priority job one. The hunters, you just hang out. We got to take care of this dog. And no problem. But that weekend was a weekend that there were some 120 dogs that had passed because people didn't realize what was going on with the heat. So be aware of that. Make sure you're understanding what's happening on that side of the fence. And take the time to get your dog working out now. And then bring water. Bring everything you need into the field with you. Make sure you have it handy.
Yeah, so make sure that the air temperature is as low as it can be. You know, working out either very early, right at sunrise.
Yep.
Even the end of the day, it's usually not cooled off enough.
It's not.
You almost have to do it first thing in the morning if you're going to run the dog at all. So.
Yep. So.
And keep it to a minimum time period.
Yep, that works. Well, tell you what else works is the fact that we are going to be back not long after these words. So hang tight. We'll be right back. Thanks for hanging in there, you guys. We always like to have you check us out on Facebook. And where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
I try to trick him every time.
You know, when you're gone, he doesn't even try to throw it to me for that.
No?
I don't think he has any confidence in me.
Oh, come on.
To take over that role.
Well, you should just introduce
her. She has her hands full doing what she does, and she does a fantastic job. Absolutely stellar. Would you not agree?
He would feel bad about stumping you, though.
Yeah,
if
I screwed it up.
Yep.
Yeah. He might let me have another shot at it.
What do we do? We just stop, go back.
All right.
Fix it. Nobody would know.
And nobody is the wiser.
But he doesn't put me on the spot.
So. Let's talk about this story. This is interesting when it came out.
All right. So I think unless you're under a rock, You may not have heard about this. Archery and hunter ed programs are threatened by the removal of federal funding. Sporting groups across the United States have heavily criticized the Biden administration following the July 31st report that the President and Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, they intended to remove federal funding from hunter education and archery programs for public schools. The National Archery in Public School program currently has more than 1.3 million students each year who participate from 9,000 schools across the country.
Yeah.
Is that not crazy?
Well, when you consider some of the most popular activities in schools now.
Defunding stems from the administration's interpretation of language in the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, a law passed by Congress and signed by Biden in 2022 following mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. It includes language prohibiting funding from providing training in the use of a dangerous weapon. Funding for such programs was previously earmarked under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act from 1965, which provides funds for schools with hunting and archery programs. The ESEA provides federal aid for both elementary and secondary schools, with an additional $1 billion now coming from 2022 legislation. The National Shooting Sports Foundation was just one of the groups who were quick to provide critical response to that decision. They said in a statement from General Counsel Larry Keene that while the NSSF was neutral on the bipartisan Safer Community Act, there were several provisions that they did support, including enhancing school security. We've become increasingly concerned by the Biden administration implementation of the law. Now, you realize how many... I mean, we've talked about this, Don, where those programs are one of the fastest growing between the archery and shooting and fishing.
We're talking trap.
Trap. They are the fastest growing in the country.
Fastest growing activity, high school sport in the country.
Which, and it beats hockey, it beats everything.
In Minnesota, which is really amazing.
I think
Minnesota alone's got like 8,000 students participating.
And they said from the NSSF, they said the example is the Department of Education and Secretary Cardona are blatantly misconstruing the law to withhold funding from schools that choose to teach beneficial courses like hunter safety and archery. Congress must hold Secretary Cardona and the department accountable for violating the letter and the spirit of the law to unilaterally deny America's students across the access to these valuable programs as part of the administration's attack on the Second Amendment. Stopping hunter education courses that teach safe and responsible firearm handling makes our communities less, not more safe, and diminishes our ability of pass on to the next generation sports such as hunting and shooting sports heritage.
No, it's unbelievable because, I mean, the beauty of having that, how old were you when you got your gun safety permit?
Well, it's 12 is when you could get 12. First to get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And every one of my kids, including my daughter, got theirs at 12. I sat through the course in every case with them to make sure they paid attention. I think it's as important as learning how to swim.
Well, this is the dichotomy that's involved with this, Don. So now you've got every fish and wildlife agency working hard to utilize every scrap of funding, not only for safety and hunter education, but for the general understanding of why stewardship is so important to the natural resource. So you have the DNR that's trying to get kids to go to hunter safety. They're promoting it. They're the ones that are doing the training for the educators that are doing the training.
Right, they host the program.
Yeah, and now you're telling them that, no, that's not right? How does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
Well, the D.C. Sportsman's Alliance claimed in a press release that they were considering legal action and that the U.S. Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis recently wrote Secretary Cardona to register their grave disapproval of the administration's decision. The two senator letters said the misinterpretation was neither the legislative intent of Congress, nor a plain reading of the text that leads to conclusions drawn by the administration. They said in 2022, 38 states have basic hunter education programs in schools, and over 600,000 students completed the basic hunter program in 2021. 8,891 schools offer the program. 1.3 million students each year participate, and it's a 50-50 male-female ratio of students.
Yep.
Explain how. How can that actually be...
Makes sense?
I got nothing.
No.
And the part that irritates me about that is you've got the safest sport ever. There's no, you're not finding any kids that are being injured. You're not finding kids, whether it's archery or hunter safety or the trap. They're not traveling to a site for trap. They're not traveling to a site. They use their home area. They compete virtually.
Until they get to the championship.
And they had, I think it was 20.
No, they had, at the championship?
Yeah, it was like 20.
It was a lot.
It was like 2,500.
Well, no, it was 8,000.
Okay.
It was 8,000 participants.
There's different segments of it, but yep. It was 7 days of competition.
Yeah.
And you don't have any issues.
No, they have. I mean, it's in, now we're speaking Minnesota here, but I think it's nationally, actually. For those programs that have been at the high school level, there has at this point been no incidents.
None.
No injuries, nothing. And the beauty of it is it's everybody knows I was one of them that I wasn't the athlete that a lot of my buddies were, mm-hmm. That played all the other sports. And shooting can fill that void, and it did for a lot of kids and girls. I mean,
and the women and the men compete equally on the same team.
Oh, yeah. It's
this is a matter of it's muscle, it's eye, it's understanding trajectory. It's a matter of all those key pieces that go together. And
as far as the actual sport, but I think that the training part of it, Eric, to me is about being respectful of the firearms themselves.
Absolutely.
They're trained to know exactly how to handle them so that there's never a problem.
An issue.
I mean, this is the simplest things. You never point a weapon at anybody.
Yeah.
And nothing but blue sky. And they learn that from little on, then they have respect for that firearm.
As you and I have, and Ava, I think, you shot.
No,
you,
yeah, I took the class at 12. And
yeah. So
12
I'm going
to
go on and land.
Refresher.
I'm very passionate about this because I think this is absolutely the most atrocious example of ignorance in politics.
Yeah, wow.
I've seen it happen where they're talking about we need to eliminate automatic weapons. You're not talking automatic weapons. You're talking fully automatic weapons, which is different than a semi-automatic weapon, which is different than, and they don't understand the concept, and they profess that they do, and they talk about these things like this is the way it, this is it, and then they try to put legislation out that is going to ban these things. This is impacting what is going to impact the future, the kids, and what they're doing. You're eliminating another opportunity for them to enjoy the outdoors with their families, because face it, moms and dads, I went hunting with my mom and my dad. Pheasant hunting with my mom and my dad when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They hunted. It doesn't mean that it's always going to happen that way, but in a situation where you have a single parent family, they can go out and participate. They can go out and do this and enjoy it and have their son or daughter competing at high school level that may not, as you said, they may not compete in any other sport, but they could be unbelievably fantastic at this.
Right.
And I absolutely have no time for this. This is unacceptable, and it's a bunch of crap. And I'm sorry.
thanks for your opinion. But either it's in reality, I don't know. They're going to get a lot of backlash on that legislation, I'm sure.
The nice part is I pulled a story that has the impact of what this is.
Okay. Even in fact, if it didn't, it wouldn't stop me as a parent from making sure my children got the class.
I agree. Well, tell you what, we are going to have at the end of the show, we're going to have something that I just pulled off before I came on the air. And it's a story that came from the administration and the pressure that they're getting. So hang tight, you guys. You're going to like this. Stay tuned.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
So, Don.
Yeah.
I'm much calmer now.
Good.
We all took a breather.
Yeah.
Calm down.
About ready to go get the oxygen.
Hey, you know what?
If hey, you're not, it's good to be passionate about it.
It is, and it's exactly
We're right. normally not opinionated.
Never.
Oh, never.
No.
I don't never have anything. Yeah. But we're jumping into, staying with the hunting format, an idea, the concept.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to go to Minnesota at this point. We're going to look at Minnesota deer hunting season. And some of the new twists as the regulations are now released for this upcoming hunting season. Are you ready for them?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Let me jump right into it. Closer look at the information. There's a bunch of different things on here. One of the notes that I saw that I really wanted to make sure people looked at it. A year ago, there were 456,000 deer hunters.
In Minnesota.
During all the seasons.
Okay.
They killed approximately 172,000 deer.
There are a lot of losers out there, isn't there?
It's down 7% from the previous year.
Okay. I didn't mean that derogatory, but...
Oh, no, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No. Unfortunately, they didn't get to bag their deer.
Well, and that happens.
Yes.
Okay,
I've been there a long time.
The new pieces and parts that are coming into the deer hunting season coming up. Party hunting is still in the mix. There's a few exceptions, I should say. Members of a hunting party may not tag a legal buck or antlerless deer for any member of their party hunting with a youth license, according to the new regulation.
Okay.
Hunters will be allowed to use crossbows during the entire archery season. And the refresher on what's new and old, crossbows may be used throughout the archery season by a person who has purchased a license to take deer by archery. Throughout the early antlerless and youth deer seasons by any hunter with a valid license. Throughout the firearm deer season by any licensed hunter. Through the bear season by a person who has purchased a bear hunting license.
So why do they call it archery and bow?
Because it's crossbow. Different loading method.
Yeah, I know. Why just call it arrow season?
Because I think it's completely different. Archery season is different than a crossbow season.
I thought you just said they were the same. Bear with you.
Crossbows used for hunting must be shoulder fired, must deliver at least 42 foot-pounds of energy at 10 feet, must have bolts, which is an arrow, and be 10 inches long and must have a working safety. There you go.
All right.
Blaze orange requirement. Person with fabric or synthetic ground blind on a public land must have a blaze orange safety covering on the top of the blind that's visible from all directions or a patch made of blaze orange material that's 144 square inches, 12 by 12, if you're
I was going to do that for you.
On each side of the blind, regulation applies year-round on all public land. Portable stands may be left overnight in certain state wildlife management areas from November 1st to December 31st. A portable stand may be left overnight by a person possessing a license to take deer. A person leaving a portable stand overnight must have a fixed tag with the person's name and address on it, driver's license number, or the DNR number. A tag affixed must be so it can be read from the ground and must withstand weather conditions. Farm deer, a licensed hunter who lawfully harvested deer or elk is not liable to the owner, but they must notify the DNR within hours. If a harvested deer or elk with ear tags or other identification, contact a conservation officer using information. Make sure that that animal is identified. Muzzleloader has changed. Muzzleloaders that are loaded from the muzzle but charged from the breech may be used during the muzzleloader season instead of loading it from the down the other side. Before, they couldn't consider that.
Definition require muzzle loaders to both be loaded and discharged from the muzzle. There you go. Makes sense? Non-toxic ammunition. Hunters may possess and only use non-toxic ammunition when hunting in special hunt or disease management areas. So there you have it, Donald. So quickly, let's jump into the other
story. Read your rule book.
Here we go. Yep, read the rule book. You can pull it up on thevalleyoutdoors.com. So this story is one I just pulled. The Biden administration has paved the way to reverse hunting archery crackdown after widespread criticism. The Education Department says it will work with Congress to restore funding for valuable enrichment opportunities like archery and hunting.
Well, that backlash didn't take long, did it?
And it doesn't take long at all. They opened the door to reversing the ongoing crackdown. Last month, we reported, obviously, the Bipartisan Safer Community Act was misinterpreted, is what they're now saying.
Oh, sure.
In the most recent example of the far left push by the Biden administration and education secretary in the name of their partisan political agenda, which is exactly what that was. And so they introduced a bill. Mark Green out of Tennessee, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, Richard Hudson out of North Carolina, they introduced the Protecting Hunting Heritage and Education Act, which would prevent the Education Department from defunding hunting and archery classes. Thank you very much.
Suppose their phone rang.
What's that?
You suppose the legislator's phone rang?
You think? Welcome to reality, boys and girls. So there's a full wrap for you. That is the Valley Outdoors for this week. Thanks for hanging in there. We appreciate it. Check out the stuff on the website. It's going to help you out what's going on with the new regulations. We are here for Ava, Don, and myself, Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Have a great weekend.